watching Awani Global. I am Soraya Mia. Now, almost 3 months on since Thailand's general election, but the country is still in a bitter battle to name a prime minister and form a government. On Wednesday, Thailand's parliament voted to deny Pita Limcharanrat, whose Progressive Move Forward party won a surprise victory in May's election. And this effectively ends his bid to be confirmed as the premier. Since Move Forward party only nominated one prime ministerial candidate, this means that the spotlight is now on the runner-up party, which is Pheu Thai. And the party's most likely prime ministerial candidate, who is a former real estate tycoon, Setha Thawisin, who said he is ready to take on the post, is set for a bicameral vote on July 27th. Now, online, we have Professor Dr. Kreungsak Charon Wongsak, who is the chairman of Nation Building Institute International in Bangkok, to help us paint a picture of what to expect moving forward and as well as Thursday's vote. Now, thank you so much for joining us on Awani Global, Professor Kreungsak.
It's my pleasure.
Right, so, you know, the first vote, the first crucial vote on July 13th, Pita was voted out and he was then denied renomination. So what do you think? Will the third time be the charm for Thailand to actually name a prime minister candidate?
I really think there is a possibility, but I think slim. On the 27th of July, there is a possibility that after the negotiation backdoor, now with Pheu Thai leading, hopefully the coalition, because it has the largest number of seats next to Move Forward, and they have the legitimacy now when Move Forward cannot form the government and being denied in the parliament. And they, if they can rally the support from various parties sufficiently in the lower house and sufficiently in the combined bicameral houses, if that is the case, then there is a possibility that candidates of from Pheu Thai can be prime minister, which in this case, most likely of the three prime ministerial candidates is Setha, the business tycoon you mentioned. There is a possibility, but a slim one. In my opinion, the whole squabble will continue on because it will not be quite easy for them to rally all the support because the existing coalition from the liberal type of parties are not sufficient in number to be able to have the combined bicameral votes sufficiently to be enough to be named prime minister. Therefore, they have to be willing to yield to some the oppositions of the other side, which is a former coalition in the previous government. And some of these parties has a possibility to join in if there is some real concession in deciding how the government from the two sides of the aisles could join together. And this is going to be tough because the conservative side has their own ethos, whereas the liberal side have a very different ethos. And that means that a big compromise has to be made by Pheu Thai to accommodate the additional number of votes that come from the conservative sides. And this is going to be problematic. And the main key issue is the concession of the demand, whether Pheu Thai would be willing to not be prime minister, despite as a large number of votes as a run-up party. That means, I think, to be more specific, the most probable scenarios is that they allow the smaller parties among the conservative sides to be named prime minister in the new coalition of the two sides of the house. And therefore, it's going to be problematic in negotiation behind the scene. And if they are willing to yield quickly before the 27th of July, maybe the new government can be formed. But I don't think it's easy to yield that quickly. It has to be more squabble, more time needed, and maybe the 27th will end up again in a situation where you cannot really find the prime minister would have the highest number of votes of the two the two houses. So my feeling is that you will not have a prime minister by 27th of July, unless there is a real willingness to yield to the conservative side behind the scene between now and then. And I will keep my ears open, listening to all my friends who are in political circuit to see whether they show the tone of willingness. I was in politics, so I know all the personalities of every parties, the main one. So I think I would be able to tell before the 27th whether it will come through smoothly, but I doubt it. That the probability is they cannot come through smoothly yet until a defeat in the parliament one more round. They'll give more bargaining chip to the other side to say, okay, now we're going to come together because there are no other choices. Would you be willing to allow the prime ministership to fall on the side of the conservative?
Mm-hmm. Right. Before we move any further, let's take a step back. Previously, I have spoken to you and you've predicted, you know, four different scenarios that could happen prior. You've predicted this prior to the, you know, the general elections. Where are we now, you know, in terms of these predictions? Maybe you could give your thoughts on this.
I am a little bit encouraged by what I have thought through 2 months before election and right during election and post-election until today. I think it's still panning out in the four possible scenarios, as I have mentioned. And the decision-making is not predetermined. It has to be contextual of the situation where different bargaining, in-game theories, type of style of bargaining, and all the scenarios still can pan out eventually. But some have more probable future than the others. All the four scenarios still working out. Now, the most probable one, given the situation of negotiation today, is a coalition across the aisles of Liberal plus some conservative parties combined together and giving the prime ministership either to Pheu Thai if they give some sweetening deal to the conservative side. It could be, as I said, there's a slim chance, it's a chance that Pheu Thai can be prime minister, one of the three of them, and most likely they will try out Sae Tha, the business tycoon, first. If not, then they continue with the daughter of the ex-prime minister, Thaksin, and so on. But there is a higher chance, in my opinion, because Mr. Thaksin is 74 years old. He really has the main agenda that he wants to go home, to return to Thailand after being self-exiled for a long time. And he thinks this is his highest chance to return home. If a government set up that has Pheu Thai as part of the government, there is a chance that he would be able to return home in some fashion without having too much hassle. But if he let go this opportunity, it's highly likely that Pheu Thai will have a slim chance to have a bigger party in the next election, which is a few years from now, probably. And I think the main agenda of coming home would be difficult. Therefore, I think Pheu Thai may have to yield to the bargaining of the conservative to say, okay, let's combine to have the government, but give the prime ministership to candidates that come from conservative camp. I think that is the most likely scenario at the moment.
But of course, there's a question. It can
develop further, of course.
Right. There's also a question, you know, like on international news and all over the news, there has been a lot of reports about, you know, say, Thailand going for, you know, change and whatnot. But before we talk about that, what do you think is the fate of the Move Forward party?
This party has future for in the very long, long term. In the short and medium term, they have no future in the sense of being in government. But the reason is very clear. The way they would be able to move there to found a new party in the last election in another name, and now transform the name from the old name to the new name, is the same group of people. The way they ignite the start of the party is to play on very sentimental issue that divide the society greatly. For instance, the issue of the monarchy and so on. And therefore, that's the only way to really create a new party with a new stance. And you have rally support among the young people largely. And hence, these people have a growing future when the young people come into ability to eligible age to vote more and more, this time more than last time. And next time, in a few years' time, will be more than this time. That's why I say in the long future, they have opportunity, but not now, because the way they found their party is very controversial. If you don't use that, you can't found your new party to have extinction. And by doing that, you gather momentum. And that's what you found. The momentum is not sufficient to have enough to really win the enough seats to form the government on your own, because the issue that you use are too controversial for the rest of the parties to be willing to join in. And therefore, in my opinion, Future Forward in a new name, possibly, or in the old name, if they're not dissolved due to some judicial issue that they may be found by people who wanted to really dissolve their party, there would be a technical legal war that would make highly likely move forward, go into more trouble legally. And therefore, it could be new reincarnation of the old party with the new party, again with a new name, and possibly even with the new leadership, if PITA go into more trouble legally after this event, apart from not being allowed to be MPs, not allowed to be prime minister because of some technical legal issues. And if they go further, they may be found into more trouble legally. And therefore, this party in the new name, in the new leadership, may emerge in the long future if they continue to be able to sustain the momentum. But if not, then the party really cannot, at least not be able to form the government short run, in this period. So I doubt severely that they have a chance. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking scientifically now, not in the sense of favoring his side, but more like politically analyzing it. The society is not at equilibrium sufficient to allow a controversial party that have played on very strong sentimental issue that a lot of people in Thailand still unwilling to play along. And this will make it so difficult, impossible for you to be government now. And I think they know it. They're just playing their luck, hoping that in the long term, they got it. Yes, they know it, if they can sustain themselves. But in the medium and short term, they're playing their game, hoping that they may have able to be government before time. And now it proves that their hope in the short term is not going to happen.
Let's talk about the general sentiment. Some, you know, over 14 million voters actually turned to Move Forward Party in the previous election. So what are your thoughts about, you know, these people who are expecting, you know, a government that includes a party that promised changes to the country?
You know, the people around the whole world are always moved by the word change. Look at Obama. President Obama, all he has to do is put the word change in front of the podium when he rallied for his presidential. People fed up always with the old thing that doesn't prove to be successful. And everybody looking for hope. And when you inspire people by change, people say, yes, we want change. But the problem is that the word change already was a winning formula. And that's what happened around the world, including Thailand. When you put the word change there and nail it down in the mind of the people, people say, yeah, let's go for the future of change better than to stuck with the old things that may not get us anywhere. After all, it's not getting anywhere. So people are fed up with the old style politics and the newness of everything, newness of ideas, newness of policy, newness of leadership, newness of everything is something very attractive. And therefore, change is a selling point of the last election. But if you investigate clearly, what kind of change do you want? There's really few things being mentioned. And a lot of them are not being mentioned, but it's sufficient. You have enough items for change that people think, yeah, that sounds good. And you appease the sentiments of the population of different kinds, where you get rid of the conscription into the military, certain people like it. You talk about various issues that really hit the heart of the people in a positive way. They like it. But people don't think the overall policies of every parties in the last election, whether those things when they've been implemented, are they going to change the country substantially or not? I don't think people think that far. Largely, because most people are so busy, we are caught by the usual social campaign, political campaign, marketing campaign of election, and you don't think the implication of all the policies combined. I think a lot of policies are being combined are populist in nature in most political parties. And whether it's detrimental or not, people don't think now. We just say, well, let's grasp our opportunity then to wait. And they don't even think further. Whether those change, what outcome would it happen to the entire macro picture of the country? If you do all that, is that really good or bad? People don't think that far. People are very, very short run. So I think this is what happened. I think the people are like this. Therefore, the anybody who promised some timely change of some timely issues will win. And in the next election, in a few years' time, we don't know what's going to emerge. And let's see what happens.
Right. Prof. Khun Sak, so how can, you know, a new coalition government actually, you know, gain or regain the trust of the people in terms of Thailand's democracy? How can they put people's trust on the government?
In your thoughts.
You know, the Thai people would continue to have hope. And the way you package yourself, no matter which government, how does it look like, will need to inspire the people to have some hope. I'm sure once a government formed of some sort, then by the real nature of the formation of the coalition, they will have to present some message that gives some hope, do the best they can. And therefore, whether you inspire trust in the people yet to be seen. In the beginning, they may have some trust or no trust, or a lot of trust, depends on who will be the prime minister, whether he lead the coalition that command the respect, that give them some hope to the people. But we will find out who eventually a key message that will come forth from the new coalition once it's been formed, to see, okay, whether hope is really being inspired. Everyone will have to try, but successfully or not, I'm not sure. I think there's a slim chance of the present political climate in Thailand, no matter which government come in a different shape or form, it will inspire a lot of hope. And of course, both sides are talking about democracy in the different ways. And democracy in the world are at a deficit at the moment, even in the West. It looks like the trust in democracy is going down somewhat because it's a technical democracy. Is electioneering democracy. And the real essence of it are still not there in the real way around the world. It's financial plutocracy, it's financial democracy, even in the US, when you have presidential election, you use a lot of money, legally, hopefully. But in the East, in some countries, you use a lot of plutocracy financially that is under the table, sometimes buying votes rampantly around in many countries in Southeast Asia. And therefore, if you look deeper, there is a paper justification that looks formally legitimate. But underneath is the practical problem where trust can really be inspired, or you are willing to give up all the hope for the best ideal, but are you going to be willing to say, whoever win the election by hook or by crooks, no matter how you do it, we will accept you. So this is a combination now of the way you have social media campaign that also use a lot of money to really inspire people through social media. And also money that is wrongfully used to buy votes in electioneering, I call it. It's still both sides are using money of some sort. And therefore, is this really going to inspire trust in the people who are more decent in thinking of clean politics? No. But if for people who are willing to be realistic and say, yeah, elections are like this, money, politics is everywhere. Okay, let's accept it and do the best we can. Yes, some sort of trust is better than no trust. Therefore, democracy is going to continue to be an issue around the world of this time because it's the least evil of all the choices, democracy. It's not the best, but it's the least evil in the sense that at least you have some kind of mandate that come from people's will. Therefore, I think democracy is not going to be something people have trust fully because it's never shown so around the whole world in the real sense anyway, except you put a blind eye to certain things and just pretend and say, well, if you have election and people go to the poll and therefore you are accepting the legitimacy, but behind the polling, there's a lot of things going on different ways in different continents. And it's also not so beautiful as it's being shown in the media. Therefore, in my opinion, people will get to learn through the times and realize that let's leave it realism. We are not going to be able to trust the human system that we work together in a full way, but do the best we can.
Thanks for being very transparent. So let's talk about, you know, maybe the impact of the political games on the people. The economy, perhaps. Of course, now the main agenda is to achieve stability, right? Whatever government, shape or form, eventually we would want to achieve stability, form a government, have a prime minister. So recently the baht has actually showed, you know, it strengthened to a 2-month high against the US dollar after what seemed like a near end to the premiership battle. Oh, what are your thoughts on this and what do you think this is affecting on the Thai economy?
You know, as an economist, I'm brainwashed by Adam Smith. Adam Smith was a student at Oxford. I was a student at Oxford. Therefore, I'm totally brainwashed by economics science. And therefore, there is Adam Smith talked about the relationship in a way of moral, politics, and economics. But the new modern economists are totally divorcing the morality, politics, and economics, and you treat economy as if it's an organism on its own without linkage to politics and morality. So I am the type that believe that politics and economics linked and morality linked there somewhere, and we have to come back to the philosophical foundation of Adam Smith. Therefore, in my opinion, I think politics affect economics, yes, but you have to talk about, you say you're not affecting, no. But the sentiment of the affecting can be only short-term or long-term, depends on whether you are really seeing the underlying issue in the longer term. Now the baht is very sentimental. In a way, it's sentimental like any other currency that is being swayed by the brief political sentiment. Politics affect the economy, yes. The stability of politics is important. To have government is important. To quickly have formed stable government is important. The more you have stable government, the better the scenarios you play out economically. But in the end, the economy is still powerful and will go beyond the seasonal short-term political sentiment. Therefore, you look at the baht going up and down, weakening or strong or weak, the political sentiment does have the effect. But it's also have the macro financial global world influence. And why the baht is strong against the US dollars or weak against the other currency or whatever, it depends on the economic forces as well around the world. It depends on how US want to deal with inflation and how US wanted to tackle inflation and then which areas of the world that would affect the relationship of the US with other countries, in this case, Thailand against US, Thailand against China, Thailand against the rest of the world. So the ringgit or the baht are all affected by all this. Therefore, we can't measure the situation politics by just to see whether the baht is stronger seasonally or weaker seasonally.
All right. I'm so sorry to cut you off, but that is all the time we have. Thank you so, so much for your explanation and for your time and for being very transparent as well with this topic. That was Dr. Khrueng Sak, Charon Wong Sak, from the Nation Building Institute International in Bangkok. My name is Raya Mia, and you are watching Awani Global. Till next time.